The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom, it's a good to be King Monday edition. Presidential immunity for everybody.
Well, at least the president. Congratulations, President Joe Biden. We start calling him His Majesty, and you know, if you make fun of his cognitive challenges during the debate, will they, you know, throw you in jail like they do some of these royal families in some countries? Is that what we're getting to now? No longer insult the monarchy, man. You can't do that. They're going to throw you in jail.
I never realized it'd be the left throwing me in jail, Dom. Justice Sonia Sotomayor's dissent. The president is now a king above the law. The Supreme Court ruled today presidential immunity. This seemingly goes a bridge way too far, a 6-3 ruling, but Perry Stein at the Post. The Supreme Court's three liberal justices made clear Monday that they view the ruling by their conservative colleagues to extend presidential immunity to Donald Trump's official acts as a threat to democracy with disastrous consequences. Here's a quote from Sonia Sotomayor. The extraordinary rule has no basis in law. Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote in a scathing 29-page dissent that was joined by Justices Elena Kagan and Ketanji Brown Jackson. The ruling, Sotomayor wrote, makes a mockery of the principle that no one is above the law. And Sotomayor spent 25 minutes reading her dissent from the bench Monday, a strong sign of her opposition to the ruling that came on the final day of the High Court's term. She said the ruling disregards motive and allows a president who wields power for even the most corrupt purposes to be immune from criminal prosecution with fear for our democracy. I dissent, she concluded. Jackson also wrote separately, the court's conservative supermajority found that Trump and future presidents are immune from prosecution for official actions taken while in the White House, but there's no immunity for vaguely defined unofficial acts. Well, that's the sweetener, Dom. That'll take months to litigate.
Everything's official. It's legal if the president does it. Didn't we hear that at one point?
I think we did, Dom. It was a sweeping decision that expanded the definition of presidential powers in this country and narrowed the scope of Trump's D.C. election interference trial, while adding what will probably be months of delay to the case. What a sweet deal for democracy, small d.
Oh, come on now, Rudy. Chief Justice John Roberts, writing for the majority, said the liberal justice's dissent struck, quote, a tone of chilling doom that is wholly disproportionate to what the court actually does today. Oh, see? You're hysterical. You're overreacting, says Roberts to the women. But the liberal justices said their fear is justified. Sotomayor warned that a president is now immune from criminal prosecution if he orders Navy SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival or if he organizes a coup to hold on to political power. If he takes a bribe in exchange for a pardon, question mark? Immune, 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 the dissent reads. Even if these nightmare scenarios never play out, and I pray they never do, the damage has been done, Sotomayor continued. The relationship between the president and the people he serves has shifted irrevocably. In every use of official power, the president is now a king above the law. She accused the majority of ignoring legal precedent. I mean, legal what? And endorsing an expansive vision of presidential immunity that goes far beyond what the founders, the executive branch, even Trump's lawyers have ever recognized. Particularly nonsensical, Sotomayor wrote, was the ruling that prosecutors could not use Trump's official acts as evidence in a trial, even if the official acts are related to allegations around unofficial acts. The indictment against Trump, for example, alleges he exploited the power of his own Justice Department to convince states to replace their legitimate 2020 electors with Trump's fraudulent electors. The justices ruled Monday that Trump's conversations with his Justice Department officials would qualify as official acts and could not be used as evidence or to establish motive. Argument by argument, the majority invents immunity through brute force. Sotomayor wrote, adding that the ruling narrows the line between official acts and unofficial ones so much that it makes prosecuting an unofficial act nearly impossible. Under scrutiny, its arguments crumble. Today's court, however, has replaced a presumption of equality before the law with a presumption that the president is above the law for all his official acts, Sotomayor wrote. Jackson, a former public defender, wrote that there are plenty of protections already in place for a criminal defendant facing trial, such as the presumption of innocence until proven guilty or the burden of prosecutors to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. This model applies to every criminal defendant in the country, she wrote, and up until the ruling Monday, the president of the United States. She accused the majority of abandoning the individual accountability model and introducing a new presidential accountability model that authorizes the judicial branch to exempt the president from punishment under law. The majority of my colleagues seem to have put their trust in our court's ability to prevent presidents from becoming kings through case-by-case application of the intermediate standards of their new presidential accountability paradigm, Jackson wrote. I fear that they are wrong, but for all our sakes, I hope that they are right. Oof.
844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Our pal Chris from Madison. Welcome, Chris. What do you got for us?
Hey, Chris.
Hi. From Sun Prairie.
I'm sorry, Chris. My brain's looking elsewhere.
Okay. Sotomayor did give another option. I mean, we've exhausted the judicial options. We tried to do this through the legislature, right? We went through impeachment. And now we've gone through all of these exhausted court cases, and Trump has, like, circumvented it, and the people in our legislature, a lot of them have helped him along. And now we have Supreme Court justices that are corrupt that are helping him along. And what Sotomayor said was that they're, you know, SEAL Team 6 could take out a political opponent. And I really believe that the president has to protect the country and the Constitution. And I feel that Donald Trump is destroying our country, destroying the Constitution. And I think the president needs to do what the president needs to do to protect this country. And I think he should take that under advisement. I really do. And I am not a person that believes in the death penalty. But I really do think that the country is at risk here. We don't have a democracy anymore. I don't see why I should follow the law if the president doesn't need to follow the law. And I think that the president really needs to take some action. He needs to protect the Constitution. It's his job. That's his job. It's his number one job is to protect the Constitution.
Chris, he needs to do it, and all that. But Chris, I mean, if Biden called the SEAL Team 6 on Trump, right? I mean, certainly, yes. Then any president can do that to anybody at any time, and that's of course no way.
Okay. And if Trump gets in November. And if Trump gets in November, he will do it. He will do it, right?
Do you think Trump will call SEAL Team 6 on Joe Biden and Hunter and the family and just take everyone out? Let's go there.
Yes, I do.
Do you think that's a practical possibility of happening?
Of SEAL Team 6?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. And yes, I do. We've taken out other leaders, right? Haven't we? That's what I hear.
Okay, but I mean, why stop with politicians? What about media figures?
This is an enemy of the United States.
Yeah, I'm saying media figures, perceived enemies, real enemies. I mean, he's just going to start, you know, this ruling would allow and you would endorse President Biden using this SEAL Team 6 example on Trump before what Trump does it to him or us or anybody else.
Okay, well, we've lost the country. I mean, I don't think you get it. We've lost the country. We have lost.
If we start endorsing presidents to use our military to attack our individual citizens for perceived wrongs, and I get it. But that seems, I don't know where we come back from that, Chris.
I hear what you're saying. I never thought I'd say this. I hear what you're saying. But what, we've lost the country. We've lost it.
Well, Chris, I feel you, sister, and appreciate the call. I don't think the answer of getting the country back, quote unquote, is the current president waxing the last president because the Supreme Court somehow says that's okay. He can't be prosecuted for it. It's an official act.
Mark from the SAC, give you like a minute and a half. Mark, what's your thought?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And I've been looking at. I haven't looked at. I was listening to Maggie, and I haven't heard, you know, lecture me on this. And I think the Supreme Court plucked various pieces of the Federalist Papers, which I am somewhat a little bit familiar with. But they're plucking, you know, cherry picking stuff, so they can say, well, we don't want to have a feeble executive. You know, that's bad for the country. But that's not what the Constitution. What people were concerned about when our government was being formed back in the Constitution, they're afraid of the president being a king. And actually, you know, Hamilton actually addressed that. So the president is subject to punishment and disgrace. If you're subject to punishment and disgrace, it means you're subject to the law. And I mean, for the Supreme Court to do this is just jaw-droppingly. I don't know where they pull this stuff out of. I mean, they're giving. But the point I would make is Trump is not president today. He took documents while he was president. Maybe he was entitled to take those documents while he was president. But after he was president, they did not belong to him anymore. They belong to the American people. And if he passed anything of that on, he's not going to be punished as president. He's being punished as an American citizen that committed treason, probably, against the United States. And that's the point I would make, is because ex-presidents are no longer president. They don't have the power of the presidency anymore. So he's a citizen Trump right now. And that's how I'd say that this nonsense of saying, well, he's got, you know, extended immunities because he was president at one point in time, that's hogwash.
Well, Mark, that's not the way the courts see it, at least not this court. It's good to be king. We are the Devil's Advocates, the kings of afternoon drive and all things political, till someone puts out the SEAL Team 6 call, takes us out. You better catch us until then. More Devils, hopefully on the other side.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you play along on the lines, talk or text. Hit us up, 844-967-2789.
The former president effectively got a get-out-of-jail-free card from the U.S. Supreme Court, the 6-3 ruling. This presidential immunity for official acts also is a big delay, probably, to justice, to the American people hearing the evidence against the former president, and let's say the insurrection case. So two rulings, the Friday ruling, which undermined what? The obstruction of an official act. Well, that's not what the founding fathers meant. So what, they effectively dismissed, or through the Fisher case, gave justification to dismiss two of Trump's charges. Arguably, Jim Santel said, well, you know, different evidence, different trial. And then came back with the 1-2 punch on Monday with the king-like presidential immunity for official acts. And then, you know, the indeterminate what exactly the hell that means. Well, we'll make you go litigate that at the lower courts, and then we'll just wait for it to come back up the ladder again. And in that way, Trump never faces real justice. We can continue to kick any prosecutor off the ladder. But the interesting part is, Dom, the already convictions. Juan Merchan's already got this guy. And sentencing comes up on July 11th. And Trump faces what? Something between 0 and 4 years in prison?
Yep. For 34 counts of falsifying business records.
Each and every day I'm cheering for the full extent of the law. You know what I'm saying? Because this immunity does not extend to before he was the president or on state charges, as far as I could tell, Dom. 844.
My understanding, though, today, Rudy. 2789. Alvin Bragg, today, my understanding, the Raw Story reporting, is supposed to recommend how long the mega leader should serve in prison. His sentencing recommendation coming today, Alvin Bragg, Manhattan DA to Judge Juan Merchan. Now, may or may not be made public, and we'll find out in 10 short days. You know, the fun just keeps on coming here in the U.S. of A. 844-967-2789. Hoosier Bob, you are next. Welcome, Bob. What do you got for us?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Pretty good, sir. Good, man. Got a fine guest coming soon, Chuck Wallace. Stick around for him.
Okay, I have a recommendation for you. It's a movie called Being There. It's a Peter Sellers movie.
Yeah, Peter Sellers, I was going to say. Pink Panther actor, yeah.
Yeah, and it's also Melvin Douglas's last movie, interestingly enough. But it addresses everything you two have talked about since the debate. I mean, it truly does, and pay close attention to the final scene.
Pretend like I haven't seen the movie, Bob, and describe the final scene. Okay. What happens, man? Be a spoiler. If I didn't see this one in the last 50 years, I'm not going to run out and see it this week.
The last scene, you have four stately, well-dressed, political-looking types standing off in an alcove by themselves, discussing who to back for president. And Peter Sellers, in one of his better roles, is the leading candidate. And it's well worth a watch. Got Shirley MacLaine too.
Well, that's worth the price of admission right there, Hoosier Bob.
Not really. But
Hoosier Bob, appreciate your contribution. You know, there is one small item of good news on the legal front. Steve Bannon going to prison today. And apparently he had a little political rally before they locked his ass up. Couple of shooters down at the bar with the boys, something like that. Then some trash talking. We've got the sound. Here it is. Rich, play for the people. Steve Bannon, podcaster, prisoner, not a fella, just a misdemeanor, but going to prison. 4 months. Play it.
I am proud to go to prison. If this is what it takes to stand up to tyranny, if this is what it takes to stand up to the Garland corrupt criminal DOJ.
Proud to go to prison. He's doing it for us. This tyranny, the tyranny that he has experienced by what? Having a congressional committee request information from him for the crime he was doing and his involvement in the January 6th coup? Yeah, you are a part of the tyranny, man. This is called comeuppance.
I'm excited for the time he might spend, you know, building his upper body strength through the act of many, many push-ups.
With a jail bod. Crudy, before we get to our guest,
will he be able to get meth in jail, or will he have to join the Aryan Brotherhood? Not that that'll be a problem for him, but I'm just asking.
Maybe a little bit of both. Rep. Eric Swalwell argued that Special Counsel Jack Smith could move forward with prosecuting Trump despite the ruling that granted the partial immunity. Here's what he tweeted out today. Don't panic on Trump immunity case. Jack Smith will argue Trump's actions were not official acts. There is precedent on this from a J6 civil case that I know a thing or two about that was unanimously upheld by the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. As Swalwell concludes, this is not a Trump victory.
Well, it was interesting. Even during oral arguments, this is undoubtedly a Trump victory for now. But during oral arguments before the U.S. Supreme Court, if you'll recall, Sauer, I believe the counsel for Defend on Trump, kept laying out these official acts that a president should have immunity for. And then Coney Barrett, if you'll recall them, went through the list of acts that are alleged against him, the criming that the special counsel is alleged. Well, is that an official act? No. Is that an official act? No. Is that an official act? No. So that's the most frustrating part to me, is they've already delineated that there aren't official acts in this plethora of alleged criming done. They're not official acts. They've already established that by his own lawyer's confession in oral arguments. We've got a fine lawyer joining me next. A former Democratic state senator and majority leader. He is Chuck Walla. More Devil's Advocates, more reaction to the insane ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court. Presidential immunity.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Good to Be King Monday edition. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled on presidential immunity, and apparently they have created precedent. And we've called an attorney friend. He is Chuck Walla. He was a Democratic senator and majority leader right here in the great state of Wisconsin. Friend of ours, Chuck, thanks for coming in. I'm not sure how to react to this ruling. Not a shocker, but perhaps shocking that the six conservatives basically have made the president a king, at least in many official capacities.
Yeah, what's scary about this ruling is when you have the minority in this case actually talking about stating that they're fearful for democracy as part of this, citing cases where you could kill a political opponent. These are really scary times, and we need leadership from the Supreme Court to establish some boundaries on the president. No one is above the law. And I think many people look at this decision and say that they have carved out very broad, extraordinarily broad, in fact, way too broad, an exemption for the president in acting in his areas as president.
And explain this concept of presumptive innocence and effectively shielding from evidence what his motives potentially. If it's an official act, then you can't show a jury what he might have done, what might have motivated some unofficial act. This seems overly broad.
Yeah, what's going on is that the court is making sure that there won't be sufficient evidence to really show the over-the-top nature of what the president is doing when he acts outside of his authority in those rare instances where they're going to allow people to look at more behavior. But not allowing the full context to be given to a jury really takes away the ability to provide the context and background which will allow the conviction to occur. And even Justice Coney Barrett, who is no liberal, said that that is not a good thing and going too far, and said that there ought to be a process here whereby President Trump would be able to go to trial soon. She was not happy. This clearly was, there were a variety of motivations. There were legal arguments going on. But obviously, the other thing that's happening here is they're definitely trying to make sure that nothing gets to trial before the election. And they have gone out of this Supreme Court has gone out of their way to assure that that will not happen.
Chuck Walla, our fine guest, attorney at law. Chuck, when Sauer, I believe it was, made arguments on behalf of Defendant Trump before the U.S. Supreme Court, the oral arguments, Coney Barrett went down the list of alleged acts and effectively said official act or unofficial act. And by Sauer's own admission, these were effectively all unofficial acts. There was nothing he would claim that was an alleged crime that he put in the official column. That seemed to me very clarifying, but this has had the opposite result because, as it was described, an indeterminate paradigm, I believe Ketanji Brown Jackson said, it doesn't really clarify where the line is between official and unofficial acts. So what, every single act's got to run back up to the U.S. Supreme Court, up and down the ladder? That can delay this forever.
It can delay it forever. And the other thing that calls into question, you know, lawyers often talk about being, are we a country that is governed by laws, or are we governed by men and women now too? The problem is that if you put it in that vein, and I think you've described it well, that leaves it then for whoever is at the end of the line and how they feel politically about the person that they're dealing with, which means that this U.S. Supreme Court could say for Donald Trump, oh yeah, this is fine. But they at another time, or with another president, perhaps with Biden or whoever else might be elected, that would be a result that they would find. And they're going to do it on a case-by-case basis. That's usually not the way the Supreme Court operates. They usually set the broad rules. They let the lower courts then decide. And at one point, you'll note that Roberts' decision, he says, we leave it to the lower courts to certain. Well, you can see that he's leaving it to them to sort certain things out. But I think you're right. What will happen here is that when major stuff comes in front of them and we're a present to be charged, it will be determined by the individuals who serve in the Supreme Court, because there really is no standard that they've laid down as to what will work and what will not work in terms of holding a president not above the law, which they said they're doing, but they have really they have broadened the exemption so that people will now feel the president is largely above the law. And even if he is not above the law, the area where he is not is so narrow that the behaviors that he could engage in president are just outrageous. And that's why individual examples were brought up. Could the president do this? They've carved out a wide range of where the president can act with impunity.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Our guest, Chuck Quala, joining us. Chuck, it's easy to say, hey, you know, what about SEAL Team 6? And you're giving all these examples that haven't happened. What about specific examples that have? You know, Nixon comes to mind. If we were to apply what the Supreme Court ruled today during the time Nixon was in office, would we have the similar result, or would it be different in your opinion?
Well, it would, you know, given the way the court has acted here, I mean, they've left a broad area of grayness. So it's arguable that a court that was favorable to the president would be able to say, hey, he's acting as president. He's trying to make sure that he gets the country one while we could. Now, arguably, one could argue that the president was not acting in any official capacity when he would order and either a cover-up or the actual action of going and looking at the Democratic National Headquarters. So someone could argue that, and that would go to the Supreme Court. And then depending upon how they felt about that individual who was acting as president, you might get a different result. So I think
that's because he used his own crew. I mean, if he used, you know, call some governmental employees, you know, not SEAL Team 6, but, you know, some other version of government, the black ops kind of situation, sent them in instead of his own, you know, political crew, that changes that scenario. He's acting under the color of what? The Department of Justice, of law, the executive branch. What about that situation?
Well, and that's one of the dangers of this decision. You are now giving a president a roadmap as to how they can make sure that they stay within the parameters of the law and do something that is absolutely abhorrent and that no one in this country, I think, would be willing to allow. But given the formation that they've given to this, you're right. And a president will say, well, let's not send in the campaign crew. Let's send a couple of operatives in from the CIA, the black ops people, and this will never see the light of day with Congress. Let's just have them do it. And yes, I think that makes it a stronger argument anyway.
And if it's you know, an official act, it's, he's ordering as commander in chief. What about again this conversation? The point that his exposure, his conversations with the Department of Justice, for example. We can't, you know, can't get into that, can't do that. That's all expressly allowed for in the Constitution. But what about if he says, okay, Bill Barr, for example, I want you to, you know, open up these investigations as a lot of the Trumpsters are accusing Biden of doing, literally opening up investigations into every political rival and just, you know, throwing everything at the wall to try to get anything, everything, and making it very difficult for them. That would be legal and proper, if I'm understanding the ruling from the Supreme Court today.
Yeah, I think it would be, at least from the way they've formulated it. And I think that this is going to have to be revisited by another court in another day if we still have our democracy around. But I think you're absolutely right. If it's within that context, it would be fine. And so, for example, on the DNC, let's take our previous example. If he orders it done by the CIA and he says, you know, sure, there's a legitimate, you know, someone might say, well, if there's no legitimate public purpose, well, then that cannot be an official act. Well, you simply say, I've heard that these guys are connected with the commies, which is a kind of a traditional route that Republicans go on with Democrats, or used to be. And so, hey, I'm having them look into this because I'm concerned about what might be going on there. That you can see easy ways for presidents and their legal advisors to find a way to place this in a context where it is an official action, even though it's really on the edge of that. And by the way, I've talked to a lot of people, obviously, who are active in politics. And there are people who talk about, they wonder at what point they might be at risk. I mean, how many people, how far down will they go? You know, I mean, you know, there have been rumors about Rachel Maddow. And I wouldn't put it past them. I don't think that they'll get too serious about this, but it could happen.
What about super cool local radio guys in Wisconsin, Chuck?
You guys are first on the list in Wisconsin. Right after Governor Evers and Greta Neubauer, you guys are next on the list.
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Hope we're at the top of your list for afternoon listenership. We've got a fine guest. He is Attorney Chuck Walla, a former Democratic senator and majority leader in the great state of Wisconsin. So, Chuck, this federal presidential immunity, king-like qualities extended to this man, how does this affect the state charges, specifically the ones he's been convicted of in New York? I know there has been legislation afoot. Republicans in the House would like to, you know, give the president or shield their guy by allowing state charges to be always lifted into the federal courts. Well, that'd be a nice get out of jail free card for Trump in this case. But of course, Joe Biden's not going to sign that into law. Trump might in the future. So in the meantime, is there any means for him to use this court ruling to undo the trial and sentencing in New York?
Well, you know, now we're taking a couple steps down the road. And yes, there's a possibility. I mean, some people would say, well, if there is immunity for all this at the federal government level, we also have to look at this and say that there's federal supremacy. At the end of the day, the federal government law is above all law if it in its particular realm. So, you know, for example, interstate commerce, you know, there are rules where, you know, you can't block interstate commerce. So one state saying you can't trade freely with Pennsylvania if you're in New York, that doesn't work. But can they, you know, the problem is intellectually, you follow this down the rabbit hole and you take it to its extreme. The question would be, is there some way to take the actions that were done in New York, whether with his business? Now, the business actions were taken before president. So I think that's very, very hard for them to reach, and they probably can't do it in terms of that, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars that he's going to owe for business activities. So that's probably not covered. Eugene Carroll, again, happens way before the presidency. Is it going to be hard for them to do that? But when you get to the more recent stuff, is it possible for them to find some way that this attaches to or relates to his work as the president or some duty of his as a president? If they can, that's a way for them to get out of jail.
Well, he was literally signing the hush money checks, the reimbursements to Michael Cohen in the Oval Office. He was the president, even though the cover-up was for alleged crimes, although they didn't define specifically what crime he had broken before the presidency. But the cooking of the books, Chuck, that happened while he was in the White House. He was effectively the president then. Could that be an official act?
I think that the argument, and it would be at the edge, but this court seems to be willing to go to the edge when it comes to Donald Trump. The argument would be that he had to protect the presidency from being diminished so that he would have adequate power to work against Putin or whatever it is. There's an argument to be made. I think it's a lot harder on these things, but I do think that the federal supremacy thing could play a role with this kind of court. Not normally. I think most attorneys hearing me talk would say, Chuck, that's crazy. But I think that with this court, you can't dismiss it.
Chuck Walla, what do you think will happen when Mershon sentences Trump on July 11th? And please tell me, like, 4 years. What do you think, though, in reality?
you know, if you had asked me before this decision came down, and I would have said that I think it's very unlikely, given the nature of the charges, that Trump would get any time. I think that that is something that's unusual, first-time offender, et cetera, and the nature of the case. I think that this might embolden the judge to do something more, but I think even that. President Lincoln, and I will paraphrase him here, very wise man, obviously, he said, with the approval of the people, almost anything is possible. Without it, nothing is possible. And that's the problem here. The only way for Trump to be taken down at this point is for us to win an election against him. And I think Judge Marchant will be wise and recognize he will put some probation, he will do some other things, but I doubt he will give him any jail time or any prison time.
House arrest? Give me some hope, for Christ's sake here, Chuck.
See, and of course, if you do house arrest, I mean, what does that really do? I mean, it only gives him greater martyrdom. And you could see after the conviction, there were a lot of his people who doubled down with the martyrdom. I know you want him in jail, but my view is don't give him martyrdom. Give the people an opportunity to vote in a free and fair election, and hopefully we have the wisdom to stop this. But I do wish that many people's favorite, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, had made a decision to get out earlier. She already had cancer. We needed to stop it.
Chuck Walla, we need to take a quick break. Come back, more Devil's Advocates and our fine guest, attorney Chuck Walla.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Radio show attorney Chuck Walla, our guest. Chuck, thank you for sticking around. I want to get your sense on this absolute immunity, at least on official acts, provided to the president now from this conservative Supreme Court. If you were to be a victim of perhaps an overreach from the Justice Department, opening up a file against you and just, you know, trying to dig anything up with no justification legally, as a subject of that investigation, I still have rights, right? I would still be able to use the courts to defend myself if they come after me with false charges or whatever the case may be. We would still be able to defend ourselves and go after anyone, not the president, who may have been criminally involved in some sort of, you know, nefarious crap directed by the president. Do we still have those normal protections after this judgment?
Formally, yes. Practically, no. Remember two things about this. The oldest story about prosecutors is that they can indict a ham sandwich. And there's a lot of truth in that. They can always find something wrong that was happening because they won't just go into your life on the news. They'll go into your taxes. They'll have the IRS do an audit. They'll do all sorts of things that will go after you. But then the other thing, and here's one of the most important things, and this is where Trump has an advantage over you. They have unlimited, he has essentially with the campaign, unlimited resources to defend himself. You don't. And it will very quickly be hundreds, not just tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars that you'll be spending to try to defend yourself. And it'll get over $1 million before you can shake a stick at it. And you will be, at some point, they will make you cry uncle. And they will make you get off this radio program because you won't be able to afford to defend yourself. That's the practical reality of what goes on here. If the Justice Department is after you, I mean, the one thing the right wing is right about, the Justice Department being weaponized is not a good thing for anybody. But that's something that I'm much more afraid of Trump using than President Biden.
Well, Chuck, then, given the circumstances, what would you advise current President Biden to do?
Yeah, let's make a list of abuses.
Is now vested upon him.
You know, and by the way, we're laughing about a very serious topic here, and I think,
we're going to cry, man.
You know, exactly, and I want to again say President Lincoln. He was dinged by somebody because he was laughing at someone talking and making a joke, and the person said, "How dare you laugh when thousands of men are dying in our fields and blah 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 dying for," and he said, "I laugh because if I did not do so, I would surely cry." This is serious stuff that we're talking about here. The good thing is, as tough as Democrats are willing to be, in my experience, and I've been around this business for 30, 40 years, 40 years plus, I have never seen Democrats be willing to go down that road. We have probably one of the nicest people who's ever served as governor in the state right now, Tony Evers. That is a gentleman who would never do something like this. Joe Biden would never do something like this. And I just don't think they'll do it. They won't go down that road. But Steve Bannon will. Smith will. I mean, there are just people on Trump's side who will drive him to the edge like he needs to be driven there.
So, Chuck, if you and I were giving President Biden a little advice, Sotomayor laid out specific things in her dissent. They seem like, you know, a recipe for disaster for our democracy. But she said effectively, assassinate a political opponent. Immune. Throw out a political coup. Immune. I mean, if it's there in the dissent, doesn't that give me some license, you know, if I were that sort of guy?
It does. It's really scary. I think that there will be more written about this and said about this. But I think you guys have hit the nub of it right away here. This is very dangerous stuff for our democracy. We are not an authoritarian country like Hungary or Russia or whatever. We don't do these kinds of things. And Joe Biden won't do these kinds of things. But we are now getting in the territory where what does happen after a very tight election here in November, and what legitimacy will whoever wins that election have? And that's a scary place for democracy to be.
Chuck Kuala, there is no way in hell Donald Trump would acknowledge an electoral loss after the debate performance of Joe Biden. No, it's rigged, it's rigged, it's rigged. What if Joe Biden won't leave office?
Well, I think the court has kind of given a roadmap for how he can accomplish that now, and Donald Trump has given a roadmap with what's going on with Vice President Pence. I do think that there are a couple of things. There are a lot of things that can happen here. There's still discussions about whether Joe Biden will be the nominee, and I think that you're going to have to wait at least another couple of weeks before that's really determined going forward. I think that there are a lot of questions about where is this election going? I mean, will people see this as something that they ultimately cannot do? One thing that's also interesting in the polls is that you're seeing that people are voting for or supporting in the polls U.S. Senate candidates and congressional candidates at a much higher level than they're supporting Joe Biden. Maybe that's a piece of the public saying we have to have a check and balance on Trump. Clearly, that's not the Supreme Court. Does that even drive more people to vote for these other folks? But you also hope, and I don't know how deeply people think about these things. Obviously, all of us on this program think about it a lot. Will people, after seeing this decision, say, with this Supreme Court in the position they're in, will we be backing away from this? And will they now say, no, I don't care where Joe Biden's at. We can't have Donald Trump and the Supreme Court aligned this way.
Interesting question. What's the answer, Chuck? Tune in November 6th, right?
Yeah, I don't think we know, but I honestly will tell you, if the election is fair, you will not see Democrats trying to get them the House or the Senate or Kamala Harris to stop the election from taking place. The peaceful transition of power is at bedrock, and Al Gore did it when he had actually won the election. We'll do it.
That sounds very weak. Coup is for everybody. We got presidential immunity.
Coup,
let's
coup,
try it
coup,
out.
Coup.
Chuck Kuala, thank you so much for joining us. Former Democratic senator and majority leader right here in the great state of Wisconsin, attorney at law and friend of the devil's advocates. You
guys do a great job.
Thank you, Chuck.
We just need to give Joe some bad ideas. Thank you, Chuck. A happier, happier. I got a great idea. Let's roll on into it.